We start with the good news. Do you have some of that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Did everyone look at it or you just sent it out?
I just sent it out like 20 minutes.
Just in time for the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least we got it. Okay, do you want to summarize what you see?
Yes, I got to configure the micro benchmarks to run in sizes that wouldn't fit in the memory of the server I was running.
Yeah.
I run it both in vanilla implementation and unblocking writes.
Yeah.
And overall performance was better, but about 4%. In some cases, in others, it was. I noticed it was much bigger. I think it was five screen write, which was most different between them.
How much of the percentage did you calculate?
Well, for random writes, it was about. I think it was about 4%. But for if you look at the down at well, I
you also have some stats, which is how many non-blocking writes per second.
Yes, I have the total non-blocking bytes, non-blocking byte per second.
Where is it? I saw it somewhere.
Right there.
Oh, here.
For each of the cases. Mm-hmm. The only one that gave me trouble was the single stream writing, which for some reason, I think it's doing non-blocking bytes because it's better in performance than like substantially from the vanilla implementation. But it's not printing the D message correctly, so I couldn't parse it. So I tried doing it several times, changing parameters, but it's not working. It's not printing a good D message.
So let's slow down a little bit. Okay, let's look at the first is random writes, and it's just one thread doing random writes.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
Yes.
And this should be the best case for us, actually. The way I see it, should be the best case because the thread is only doing random writes.
Yes.
And what are the sizes of these writes?
2K.
2K random.
Yeah,
writes.
For every of the cases, I change the size of the writings to 2 kilobytes.
And
the average, I think. Every write.
Once every two writes, we should have a non-blocking write, right? If the cache cannot fit the working set. See, it's doing random writes.
Yeah.
So this...
well, in the worst case,
once
every two writes, yeah.
I think we count both.
Both as in... Which are
the
these
two
both?
Writes... Per page that are happening.
Both are non-blocking writes.
Yeah,
that's
there will
true.
Be two patches.
That's true.
Why this number of total is pretty much the same number as the total ops.
What does this total mean?
Non-blocking writes.
Total non-blocking writes?
Yeah, number of non-blocking writes.
Yeah, it sort of match with the total of operations.
I'm surprised that we are not doing any better than this. I mean, not too better. This will this should have been the best case, except maybe there. If multi-stream random write is probably going to be even better.
Yeah, but the multi-stream was, I think it was sequential.
Okay.
Sequential write.
Okay.
Well, but
so something is going on which is not...
Is this doing sync after each operation? Or every many operations? Because if it's syncing, maybe that's...
Could be, but I don't know if that's syncing or not. Do we know if there is any sync operation somewhere?
I don't think so.
You sort of got the S-trace, right?
No, I just analyzed the message.
But you got an S-trace for the first benchmark, right?
I got an S-trace for the first benchmark?
You said that in some moment that you were checking if the writes were size of 2K and you did it.
Yes. It's the size of 2K, yeah.
But you got a trace, right, to confirm that?
Right now I don't, but I checked it before, so yeah. Why would it change?
I mean, that's a way to know if they're syncing or not.
Mm-hmm.
Just get an S trace of the benchmark that's running and we'll see if there is syncs.
Yep.
Yeah, but before they were in the IO of the... I mean, I did it for the file server, and I did it for one of these micro benchmarks, and it worked. I mean, it was doing exactly what I wanted. So.
But
I don't
did
know.
You check if there were f-syncing?
No, I checked if the sizes were 2K.
Well,
I could try again, but since there was a
this one should have been. You know, instead of 4,000, it should have been like 400,000 or 4 million or something like that operations. Because non-blocking, the whole point is that you can just write to memory and keep going without waiting. But I guess, you know, there is one issue here, which is if it's a large file, at some point, you cannot create any more patches. Right, so you would have to block at that point because you ran out of memory to create patches. But how much data are we writing here?
Per operation is 2K.
And there is 4,000 operations.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It's
wait, but I think they're doing asynchronous writes.
Yeah, all writes are asynchronous by default. But even async writes will fix the page.
I mean, asynchronous. Well, what does that mean, this amount of microsecond of operation against this amount of latency? Why there are two numbers there?
I guess this part is how much CPU get used, and this part is how much disk get used.
Per operation.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. But there's something. So one of the issues is if you fill up your entire memory with patches, right?
Okay.
Then you have to block for some eviction. Actually, you have to not just you cannot block for eviction. You have to block for pages to be fetched, patches to be applied, and then eviction. But we are not writing as much data here. It's just 4,000 operations times 2 kilobytes, which is 8 megabytes. Hardly any. That, and the amount of memory you have is 170 megabytes.
Who would need to get blocked? The thread?
The thread that's doing the write. Even to create a patch, you need to ask for memory from the kernel, inside the kernel.
Inside the kernel.
You need to get memory before you can create a patch, and if you stub all your memory, you have to that the whole process of creating a patch itself blocks because allocating memory blocks.
Because they're one of the parameters for each thread is the size of the memory of the thread. So I don't know if that because it would be memory for user space. So.
Yeah, there's something going on here that I just don't understand, and we need to dig more deeper.
I think that they are up-syncing. That's my only explanation for having similar results.
I could just run it again and do the S-trace of the two of them.
Yeah. Okay, let's look. So this one, we don't know what we...
This line is the time command output. I'm not sure what... each value represents because I don't remember how the output is done, but maybe one of those values is telling us how much time is spending in the kernel and how much time is spending in the...
I think we can only speculate, which is not a good idea. These two look so similar that I don't understand. Okay, let's look at the next one. Random read write.
Here the performance is better.
You mean the performance improvement is better?
Improvement is better, it's 10%, more than 10%. Okay.
the performance is actually worse because we do fewer operations.
Yes.
No, but we do more operations per second.
Oh, relative to vanilla, yes.
So the number of operations...
Yeah. No.
And we do more operations, right? 48 versus 41 operations per second. That's a significant improvement, which is probably about...
15%?
15% at least. At random read, we do worse. Right? Okay, so overall we actually do worse. Overall we do worse. See that, Ricardo?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think we need to figure out what's going on with this benchmark. That will tell us more about this maybe. I don't know. So, let's look at the next one. At least one something that we can understand. Five stream write. Now, this was the one with very impressive numbers.
Yeah, the difference was... So each file has a size of 3 gigabytes. And each thread, there are 5 threads, and each thread is writing sequentially 2 kilobytes per operation. So the difference is...
So how much is each thread writing in all, in total? So if each, this guy did 200...
Yeah,
200,000 operations.
You multiply by 2. It's 2
multiply
kilobyte.
By 2K, which is 400 megabytes. Actually, this is the experiment that I was expecting we'll not do as well, because we'll fill up memory with patches and then we'll block. But here we actually do better, so I completely at a loss as to how to explain these things now. You see, what will happen here is that every thread will create patches, and then, you know, we ran out of memory.
Inside the kernel.
Inside the kernel. So, Daniel, tell me something. What if, do we have the optimization where if we get the whole page?
I don't know. I know which one you're asking for, but I don't know if it's implemented. I did not implement it. I don't know if this did.
Because it's...
If we had the whole page, just get rid of the patches and fill up the page.
Get rid of the patches, cancel the I/O, and because we issue the I/O, that's one of the problems, that we issue the I/O. Hold on. The previous one, random write, is it writing? It's not writing an entire page, right?
No.
It just takes 2 kilobytes at a random location inside the file, writes it, and then moves on to the another random location and writes 2 kilobytes again?
Yes. Well, that's a behavior described in the benchmark, and when I did the test rates, it was doing exactly what we wanted. But
The thing about the vanilla version of this sequential write is that it's going to fetch the page. Although you're going to fill the page eventually with writes, it will still fetch the page. Whereas this guy won't fetch the page. Well, this guy will fetch the page, but in the background, the thread won't have to wait for it.
So it can do twice at work.
Well, it can do more, right? Because it can fetch, it can write to multiple pages while this guy's still waiting on the first page.
Yes.
So I think the challenge now is to explain the data.
Isn't it possible for... I mean, I don't know if the implementation does it, but if you fill of pages inside the kernel, of patches inside the kernel, would it patch them together? Like
merge them?
Yeah, merge them.
Yeah, we have patch merging implemented, but I guess the real question is if the merged patch completely overwrites the page, can we... you know, do we discard the original IO request for the page and just create a page out of the patches?
That's a good question. We actually need an answer also for the NFS implementation, because I do not understand what is happening with the NFS client. The NFS client does issue the read as asynchronous, so I don't know how they do. Then
I guess we'll talk about that later. Okay, so this is a positive result, but we don't know why it is like this, right?
Even though I don't know why this is different in the non-blocking write case from the random case, from the random benchmark. It should have similar
performance?
Yes, because to non-blocking writes, sequential or random won't affect if it's just creating patches.
That's right. True, but I don't think the non-blocking writes is being exercised in the first workload in the right way, because otherwise the performance for random write should be huge.
Yeah, it should be at least 40.
Yeah, so something is going on here that we don't understand, and Daniel, you might have to work with Ricardo on this to figure out what's going on.
Okay.
I have a question about this. Wouldn't it be possible that the file system is? I don't know if this is possible, but if you're sending several writes, you are writing them sequentially and you are merging them, so you have pages now. So you're writing several pages in sequence, which won't have a delay in the physical, in the disk, when you're seeking, right?
Yeah.
So sequential writes would always be more efficient than random writes, in the sense that you don't have the delay of the physical disk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the vanilla will do the same.
But you're not reading from the page. In this case, you're writing all the writes at the same time without reading the page in order to write, right?
No, we need to read it. Unless we have that implemented, and I don't think we have, we still need to wait for the read so we can apply the patches, even if we have the whole 4K of data. So the write at the end should be the same for non-blocking writes and vanilla. The IO scheduler will merge all the pages in big requests when flushing back to the disk.
So there is a case to be made for for anticipation of future sequential writes before a page fetch operation is issued. By the way, which implementation are we using here? Are we using the lazy? Or no?
I don't think so. No. You just use the default.
I use the default of no working writes.
Because the lazy would not fetch.
Mm-hmm.
The lazy would be more efficient in this case, right?
Should be. So we should
try it.
Yeah, we should try all the variants that we've implemented, right? And how did you come up with the 170 megabytes?
How did I come up with what?
With 170
that is
megabytes?
A default.
Oh no, it's a default of the benchmark.
Oh, okay.
That is not the machine memory, so it's just a memory allocator for the thread in user space.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's not machine memory. What is machine memory?
8 gigabytes.
Oh.
I wrote it on the name of the file, so I could.
Okay. How big is this file? It's 15.
Gigabytes.
And for 5 threads, 3 gigabytes each.
Yeah. I tried to do it similar, like to be able to compare.
So I see. So when you create a 15 gig file, you've used up all your memory in page cache. So to, even to create a patch, you don't have any memory.
Well,
because you're creating a 15 gig file with 8 gig memory.
That's page cache, right? It will get a bit under memory cache.
But since it's created, you have to write it to disk. It's a dirty page. I'm just trying to figure out how to explain the data.
I don't know if they do a sync after creating the whole file.
Before running the page, the benchmark, they set everything up. So they first write the 15 gig file, and then afterwards, after everything's done, they start issuing the write. So
I think we understand that. The question is, after the file is created, is the file sent to disk first? Is it flushed out to disk before the rest of the thing runs?
I would expect yes. So the benchmark is meaningful, right?
I don't know how the bench is implemented. Okay, so it seems like for file bench, there's some promising data, and it might be a promising benchmark for us, but we need to figure out how it works so that we can configure it correctly. Were you able to do any other memory size?
No.
I think it would be good to do at least, let's say 8 gigabytes and then 1 gigabyte or 512 megabytes to see if there is any difference in the performance.
Okay.
The 60 seconds that you see here, is that including the file creation time or no?
That's the running, including the file creation.
Oh, including the file creation. I see. Where is the time until which it took to create the file? This one?
Yeah. Starting pre-allocated large file in 1 second.
Ah, okay. And then, what is it? Wait for file set pre-allocation to finish? What is that? What is this number? Do you know?
No.
Earlier milliseconds.
Milliseconds. And this is rounding up to 1 second. So.
Yeah, because at the end it says 61 seconds. Well, it will be seconds. A number.
What's going on here? Few milliseconds after the file got created, you started running one random write. Okay, running. What? I have no idea what that is.
Well, once you set up the thread and the instances for the benchmark, you just start running. So right when it starts running, you just start to count the 60 seconds.
Yeah. There is no disk that's going to write 15 gigabytes in 1 second. So
maybe he was reusing it.
Hmm?
Because it creates a temporal, it creates all the files in a temporal space. Temporal directory in the temp folder, so maybe it says it's reusing it. For some cases, it took 253 seconds to create the files.
Wait, what temp folder?
In the temp folder, it creates its own directories.
What temp folder? A temp folder inside the. The benchmark or the temp in var?
Temp.
In root.
Temp.
The one in root?
Yeah.
That won't be backed up for any by any file system.
That's a memory file.
Well, you can look the in the defaults. It says it's the temporary folder.
Doesn't make any sense because that's not going to the file system.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's doing IO on on a real file.
Well, maybe he has his own temporary directory and then he deletes that.
Could be, yeah, that's more likely, sure. I think.
But it's set up by the benchmark. You can change it to whatever you want, but it's the default. Sometimes it's reusing it. It says it's reusing the large file one.
It's a deterministic benchmark, right? So either it uses it or it doesn't use it. It cannot be sometimes it reuses it. Yeah. It's not a randomized benchmark.
Well, if it's already exists,
it will recycle.
Exactly.
You should always recycle it.
If it already exists, but if it doesn't exist, it has to create it. For example, for the file stream. Amazing. Okay, right? Sorry. For the file stream, it took more.
It's still reusing. Well, it says 11 seconds. So.
Creating a file, pre-allocated, one large file, reusing file large four.
So here each
file. Look at that. 5, 4, and 3 were reused while 2 was created. And it took more time. Sorry.
So it was large file 1.
Even though 1 is also reused, supposedly, and it takes the same time as 2. But 2, it does say that it's creating the file set in temp, large file 2, which doesn't make much sense to put it in temp. Maybe that temp is a subfolder of the benchmark.
Yeah, but it has a root directory in front of the temp, and it used TMP also. Oh, it's very confusing.
We need to check that because if it's using the.
Well, we can change it and just put it whatever we want.
But I mean, if it's a memory. A memory file, even then, how do you get 15 gigabytes? Oh, with swap. You get 15 gigabytes with swap.
Yeah, but I'm still also surprised that we are getting non-blocking writes from a memory file system.
No, because it's at the VFS layer, I guess. It's implemented at the VFS layer.
The location of the
even
page.
Even a memory file system will use the page cache of the VFS.
Yeah, but the location of the non-blocking write page is file system dependent, which is our problem with NFS.
I thought that we had the non-blocking write page being or IO being created at a location which would work for most local file systems.
Yes, but the location for the non-blocking write page for the first non-blocking write on a page is done in a sort of generic function, but it assumes buffer heads, and I wouldn't. Well, maybe they do.
Could be. I mean, but because the memory device is exported as a block device, otherwise you cannot you know put a file system on top of it.
Maybe that's the case.
That would be my expectation. Interesting. Okay, so
that could also explain why there is no big difference between vanilla and unblocking write.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so Daniel, you need to work with Ricardo to get this sorted out. Yeah.
Okay.
These numbers are not making much sense. I mean, what I thought we'll do better at, we do pretty much the same. And what I thought we'll not do better at, we do much better. So it's exactly counterintuitive result. Oh my god. Okay, Lewis is now going crazy with these numbers. Okay, let's look at SpecSFS now. Let's see what's going on there. So first of all, there are hardly any non-blocking writes going on, right?
Yeah. The first number, the first set of numbers, which is for a gigabyte of memory, those are the same run as before, where I have several parameters changed. So,
So they are not; these are not comparable.
Exactly, the first compared to the rest of them are not comparable.
Hmm.
So what I mean is non-blocking writes and
these
vanilla
are comparable.
For 1 gigabyte is different from the rest, but the rest have the same configuration.
Yeah.
So this number of non-blocking writes is higher than the rest because in the rest I'm accessing the file with 30% of random access, while in the other one is 99% of random access.
Mm.
So that's why we'll have many more non-blocking writes. And the non-blocking writes value for all the memory configuration seems the same. And I would expect because there are too few random access compared with sequential access. And we don't see much benefits from non-blocking writes.
Could it be also that since these are IOs that are full page IOs, that we don't see non-blocking writes? Do we have some information about the write sizes?
No, I didn't collect those, but as I told you before, most of them are more than one page.
Yeah, and how many writes in total? So
okay, that's the third number, where it says write.
This one?
Yes.
Okay. That's very high compared to this number, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even clear if these non-blocking writes are coming from the spec SFS or not. The last time you said something like
this. Well, if you see here, there are many more than the other case. The time before is that here you see that is one non-blocking write per second, so this could be from another process.
Mm.
It could be even from
a logger.
Yes. At least for the case when we put all the access random, there we can see an increase of non-blocking writes, and I will expect that it's coming from this process because that it's the only thing that changed on the system.
Yeah. Mm.
But in general terms, if you see the latencies, compare vanilla, which is the last set of four, with the previous set of four, vanilla seems to be faster. 6.4 compared to 7.1, 66 compared to 67, 27 compared to 30, and 22 compared to 23. And the other number is... this black number is just the latency for the write operation. These are for all the operations. This one is for the write operation. 132 compared to 126. 124 compared to this one. 272 compared to this one. 44 compared to this one. Sorry. I also noticed some change in the read latency, and I will expect that is because of us introducing more reads than the reads.
Okay, now let's talk about this doesn't look very promising.
No, it doesn't unless we roll back to this 100% and try again with several memories to see if there is a difference, which was something that I was going to leave in the background.
Okay, yeah, I think we can do that in the background. So let's talk about the NFS client now.
Okay, on the NFS client, I couldn't put a line of code because I tried to understand the code and I do not. As far as I understand, there is this first piece of code that says the check if we want to do a read-modify-write instead of a write-modify-read cycle. And they issue this NFS read. When you enter there, I don't see anywhere where they can they do wait for the read. And also the comment says we do synchronous write only if we had an error in a previous write or another case. And the function says read async, NFS async read.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm lost. I was thinking of something else. Can you start over?
So we can go to the code if you.
Yeah, let's do that.
If you enter on the Git side, we can see even the non-blocking write code.
Okay, where do I go?
Mambuff. Today created accounts for Jorge, Ricardo, and all of these people. Files. Then that's pretty much the source code.
This one?
Yes.
Why is it still called Anon?
I don't know. That's the name that they have for the trunk. File system. NFS and over there I'm not sure which one it will be the one with BFS go with maybe there is one read.c because I know that there is one write.c that there is. No. Okay, here look for NFS read. Read page, probably. All together, maybe. Okay, that one is called further in the code. Key one again?
Okay.
Another one, maybe?
Result, retry. Result, partial. Release, partial. Release. Result. Oh,
there.
Okay.
So this is the read page that is called in the case where we want to read the page before.
We read the page synchronously.
So they said that they read it synchronous just in this case.
This happens only when previous async read operation failed. Okay.
I don't see anywhere here where they can wait for the read. And in the code that is calling this, they are not waiting. So this writeback page is if the struct page here has a previous request, they want to flush it before reading.
Does the writeback page call the read page?
Come again?
Does the writeback page get the page and then...
No, writeback page is called for a page that is already in the cache that are, that has a outstanding request associated with it. Write page will write that request back to the server.
If the page is already in cache, why do you need to read page?
Because you might have a request in a page that you haven't read. For example, if you go on the other case where you didn't read it and you allow the write. Because here you can have...
Just a patch.
You can have just a patch. So
the write back page will just send the patch. It won't send the entire page.
It will just send the patch, if that is the case. If the request... associated with...
But here there is a page.
Exactly. Okay, let me explain. Here, what this function will do is go to the page. It will go to the private pointer inside the page and see if there exists an NFS request associated with the page.
Okay.
That NFS request will have an offset and a size inside the page.
Okay.
That will be sent to the back to the server. There can be two cases, or at least that I can come into mind, why you will have a page with that you need to read that already has a request associated with. One of them could be that you didn't read it before because you decided to go on the write, modify, read cycle.
Read, modify, write.
No, the other one. Write, modify, read. You just write it. I mean, modify the page without reading it before. So mm-hmm. you have the outstanding request and you haven't read it before, and you might enter it now to read it. So you need to flush probably the previous request.
So the single patch you would like to flush.
Exactly.
It. Okay.
The other case, I think they can have several. The same page can point to several pieces of data for some reason. I think sometimes they go to a page and they check if the page belongs to the file that you're trying to write, and if not, they flush it. I don't know how can that happen, but they do check that. That is a check which is NFS flush incompatible, mm-hmm. and they check for compatibility, which is if you can append the request or if the request belongs to the same file. So for some reason, you can have a request for a different page in your page.
I don't understand that either.
But, okay, then there is another thing. There is a FS cache that I think, I don't understand what it is, but I think it's a different cache than the page cache. For some reason, when they're reading, they try to hit first on a cache, on the file system cache, and if they don't find anything, then they go and fetch from the server with the following one.
And this is only if it's sync, I know.
If it's...
If not synchronous.
Sorry. But here, this FS cache, I don't see it's a page cache. I think it's a different cache. And this one then it goes to the server and fetches it synchronous. But you see, after this, there is no wait for the read. And then the function finish, and they allowed, they sort of copy from...
What about this one, the put NFS open context? You know what that does?
I think that's just returning from this get.
You don't know, maybe that blocks it.
Or maybe that could block, yes. That could be. Even though I think it's check. I highly doubt that it would be in that file. Okay. Maybe if we go to Elephant, it would be better.
Elephant?
And OpenGROC. In Elephant, he has an... Please put it in an OpenGROC where there is a vanilla version of.
Like that? Elephant.cs?
Yes, and OpenGROC probably. Yeah.
No. What is that?
I don't know if you spelled it right. I don't really remember what was the name. It was one of the things that you use, that you also use when you look in Google.
XR cross reference.
Yeah, it's one of those.
2611 and later. Where are we going? File system.
NFS.
Oh, NTFS. I clicked on NTFS. NFS. What's going on, Ricardo? You look bored.
No, I'm not bored. I'm just tired.
Which one are you looking at now?
We were looking at...
Let me search now.
Yeah, you could search for right NFS right begin, and then we come...
NFS put NFS open context, right? Function.
Okay.
NFS proto inode. Close context.
I think that NFS Proto is sort of a struct with function pointers to different functions,
but
depending on the NFS version.
Close context. Yeah, okay. Is this being initialized?
I think it depends on which version of NFS you're using.
Go back to that function and in this context. Hey, this is one potential where there could be blocking. Put RPC credentials, that could be more, I don't know. Okay, before we go into this too deep, I want to find out what's going on.
If you look here for BF NFS in their cross reference.
Give me 1 second. So let's see if there's an each page.
You can open a parenthesis and it should jump there.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay, so. By the way, is this NFS read, blocking NFS read page? It seems like it's only called when the error flag is set for this page. Is there any other function that's going to fetch the page besides this one?
From this, you understand that it's doing a synchronous, or it's just saying that it will do synchronous in that case, but it will do asynchronous otherwise.
Doesn't say synchronous or asynchronous. Could be asynchronous too.
Yeah, because the comment says that they do synchronous in this case, but they don't specify if they do asynchronous in other case. Or
it says
or
read a page over NFS. Doesn't say synchronous or asynchronous. Okay, so this may be... So is this the function that is invoked?
Yes, if you go to the...
where is it? Okay, yeah,
cross reference. Look for NFS.
Read page.
Write begin.
One more.
NFS write begin is where everything starts.
From the beginning.
Even the code says that it does the real work, which I don't know what they mean.
Which means that everything else doesn't do anything.
Because even though after this there is NFS write end where the real work is done, I don't know why they say that the real work is there.
Okay, so they describe what the work is. We must allocate and lock the page to be sent back to the generic routine.
The generic routine is the one that will merge whatever is coming from user space into the page. And that's where we also create the patch.
We must allocate and lock the page. Which then copies the data from user space. If the writer ends up delaying the writer needs to increment the page use counts until he is done with the page. This seems like a generic piece, generic comment that was just cut and paste from every other write begin function call.
Maybe.
Doesn't have anything specific to NFS.
Actually, doesn't, yes. So, okay, here in flushing compatible is where it will check if there is any previous request that needs to be flushed because it's not compatible with the new request.
Okay, remind me what... What is the grab cache page doing?
That one will look for the page in the page cache, mm-hmm. and if it doesn't find it because it hasn't been created before, it will create a new one.
Else it will do what? Else it will return null?
No. I mean, it will find one if it exists, and if it doesn't exist, it will create a new one. In the case that it cannot create a new one, it will return null, but that's because it couldn't create it, it's because there is no enough memory. It will be an error.
No. I mean, what if it's an existing page inside a file, right? Because you have a mapping and you have an index.
Yes.
And it's just not in cache.
Then it will create a new one, a new page. Empty, but it will create a new struct page ready to be read.
Populated.
Yes.
Oh,
but it won't populate it. It will just return the pointer on the page cache.
Okay, I see. Okay, I understand now. And then flush incompatible.
That is if there is a previous request associated with the page. It will flush it. And a previous request can be incompatible if it cannot be merged with, or if it belongs to a different context, I think. Context or file.
Mm-hmm.
There is some cases there. But for our case, we can ignore it, I think.
Yeah, if we need, we can go back to that later.
And then there is, if this case, if you want to read, modify, write, then there is the function to read page there. If not, they don't even read it. They just leave the page empty.
What does page cache release page do? It just reduces the... decrements the...
Yeah, I think when you grab cache page right begin, we'll get the page. And that will...
release the page. Let's see what that does. Put page. Oh, put page. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just decrementing the reference count for the page.
Yeah, I think when you grab it, you do a get.
Okay, so the page is... Okay, so that just means that the page can be... reclaimed, right? And that's weird.
Yeah, that doesn't look right.
Something is not right here.
No, but the page is still locked.
I see, unlocked page.
That is if there was an error, I think.
Mm-hmm. NFS flush incompatible returned a zero value, non-zero value. Let's see.
I think you hit usage.
Oh. There's no comments. There's one.
You see, they say that it belongs to another file for some reason.
And how could that happen? And because it's a
maybe something related to hard links on NFS.
Yeah, I was thinking about hard links. Do this due to lack of access type call. NFS page find the request. You know what this does?
That will... trying to find if that page has a request associated. pretty much is access, is just access to the private pointer of the struct patient. If there is something allocated there.
You mean, is there an outstanding write for the page?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if there is an outstanding write for the page, then it needs to be flushed. If there is no outstanding write, you just return zero.
Okay.
So which means that when you go back here, you would go into this part. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's zero, you go in here and you do read modifier. Manifest one. Would this be true at that point?
Most of the time it's true. That is true only if you have read permissions, the page is not up to date, and there is no range locking. Some conditions, but most of the time it's true.
So which means that even the first write would do a read modify write.
Yes.
Correct? Even the first write to a page that's not in memory will do a read modify write.
Yes, if that is true.
If that is true, then...
If that comes to true. That is pretty much the function that is on top of this one, if you want to read it again.
Yeah, let's look at that.
Okay.
It's not up to date. If it's not up to date, if it's not a private page...
No, that private page means that there is not already an IO request.
If there is all... Yeah, that's, so the first write will always do a read modify write. Subsequent writes, when they come in, may not do a read modify write.
Exactly.
Subsequent writes don't do a read modify write.
Because the previous one already did.
But the subsequent writes will do flush incompatible.
That will do only if...
If
all go there, but they won't flush it. The only way that they flush it is because they cannot merge it.
They cannot merge it. Ah, I see. Interesting. Okay. And page length. So valid bytes of the page. And you're not replacing all the valid bytes.
Yeah, that's how they avoid for reading a page that you're going to modify completely.
Yeah.
If you're not replacing all the valid bytes, if your offset is different from zero and if the end is below the end, if you're modifying the whole thing, they don't read.
Hmm.
So until then, I'm okay. My problem is that I don't know where they wait for the read. And if they do not wait for the read, once this function finishes, the next step pretty much is the kernel maps the page where the user data is, and they main copy whatever the write is happening, whatever the buffer was passed to the write system call into the page. And they create this request to point where the data is inside the page. They create the request with the offset and size.
So the NFS read page...
So if the NFS read page completes after that, it will override whatever is doing the write. Right? That's the part that I don't understand.
Well, we need to look at where is the handling of the read page completion.
I also tried to look at that, but...
It's flushing.
But I think they write the whole thing.
That page. Okay, so this part is flush incompatible. And the read page is something we're looking at before. Read page. Interesting. Because we own the page log, there cannot be any new pending writes generated at this point. So once a read page is initiated, there can be no future, no other writes until the page is read.
Okay.
That's how they've implemented it.
So unless they don't release the lock, the write cannot proceed into.
And the page up to date.
But who got the lock? Because I think the lock was got in NFS write begin.
Yeah, before the read page was called.
Exactly.
You're right.
I think grab cache page write begin will grab the lock.
Makes sense. Let's look at this again. Where did it go? Yeah, okay.
That's another one. Yeah, find log page.
Find or create a page. At a given page, return the locked page.
Here, is where they're
okay. Locking. Return the locked page. Right. So it's returning the locked page. This function is specifically for buffered writes. Specifically for buffered writes. Okay. If it's for buffered writes, then why call NFS read page? After this.
No, either way, in the ext2 case, you also read after calling grab capture page. Because that function will return a page if it exists or an empty page so you can read into it.
No, I'm saying that the language which says for buffered writes.
Is there just referring to
The write is still being buffered in the page cache, even though you're loading the page. That's true. We're breaking that with non-blocking writes. Okay, and then flush incompatible. The read modify write. One thing that you might want to do is to see if the segment of code gets triggered.
It does.
It does.
I mean, I haven't checked lately, but I checked when I was on my internship, and it does.
Okay, it does get triggered.
Yeah, I put it to false to not get it triggered, and it changed completely the behavior. If you put it to false, then won't read ever.
You put which one to false?
This NFS one read modifier, right? So I never read unless
and the code read. And when you put it to true, it does read?
It read the page before, right? It does whatever weird false block
device. No, I'm just wondering if this guy is returning false anyway. So if you change it to false, it won't make any difference. But it did make a difference.
Yeah, it returns true or false depending on the case. Okay. It works.
So then there are only two functions that are suspects, right? NFS read page and page cache release.
Page cache release is the put of the page, but if you see, there is no unlock of the page. No word.
Unless it's happening inside read page. Let's see where is read page. Which file are we looking at?
Well, that's read page.
Yeah.
maybe the completion one, mm-hmm. where they releases the page. Maybe the completion for the read releases the page. Here they unlock them, but only if there was an error.
Mm. Yeah.
So maybe that's how.
Or if the page is up to date, you see?
Because they don't need to read. So yeah, then it makes sense that maybe the completion of the read is the one that is doing the unlock. And until it unlock, the other code cannot write into it, maybe.
Mm. And so any other write will block until this page is unlocked.
Yes.
So it's not that this, the first thread that does the write gets blocked, but future threads get blocked because they cannot acquire the lock.
Okay, and then the only question that I still have is how do they do with this write if they do not wait for the read?
How do they do what?
With this write if they do not wait for the read to complete.
What do they do with the write?
Because the thing is that let's assume that the read is not completing, it's an asynchronous read, and the function returns.
Mm.
The next step is to copy whatever is in the buffer from the syscall into the page. If they do this before... And they store the offset and size in the request.
Well, unless we find out what happens in the...
Return of the...
We won't know, right?
Okay.
So how do we know... Where is that?
Oh, that's a good question. I think you need to go inside here and...
NFS read page async and find out where the function pointer is.
Yeah, eventually they set a callback point function.
Okay, let me use this window. Grab cache, we know what that does. Read page. Begin? What?
Async.
Async.
This won't work. Well, so it seems here they wait for completion, but in the code that I'm using, it's completely different function.
Which code are you using?
2.6.
But this is read page async. Why would they wait?
Well, no, they don't wait. They send the IO to be completed. I mean, that one is the one that sends the IO. Sorry.
Okay, but where is the... Oh, here is the completion. Completion ops.
Okay. Yeah, but in my code, in my version of the kernel, that code is completely different.
Would be similar, I think. NFS... page IO completion ops, async read completion ops.
And just declared it there.
Go back.
The one below, I guess.
Okay. Okay. Anything make sense to you? Where is the private information being used?
The private is the NFS page request.
This one?
Well, I don't know if that one, but I know that the private information, the request is the private information of the page. Which is...
So first they need to get that request.
Okay, they get the page there. The request is also inside this header, which is which is used to send the IO. So they also have the requester. They have it associated with the page and also with the RPC.
What request are you talking about now?
The read request. The read request will be another request too.
Yeah, but I'm wondering about the original write request that caused the read. That should be in the private area of the page, right? The original page.
I don't see. That will mean that they don't allow the write to go until the read completes.
I'm also looking for a page getting unlocked.
Probably here.
Here? Read page release? Okay, so before they unlock the page, they must apply the patch. Patch.
But maybe they don't. Maybe the read is synchronous and the patch doesn't exist. That's the part that I'm not sure.
And the read is not. I don't think the read is synchronous because we didn't see any waiting on the other side. I don't see any wait, right? And what's going on here with these bytes? I have no idea what the write back bytes. What is that? See, request write back bytes. Could that be the size of the original write request?
I don't think those are the.
See, request write back page. There is a page, which is a request write back page.
Okay. But I don't know if that request is the same request as the write or...
As the private.
I don't know if that request is for the write request that generated the read, or maybe it's a request for the read of the page.
Where is it coming from? See?
That comes from...
NFS page.
Oh, maybe here. This is the opposite of this. This is the one that... prepares all the RPC to be sent.
Okay.
And part of it must be to pack the request somewhere. Even though I don't see it.
I don't see a request here. So the request is coming from somewhere else, which is... Where is it? List entry. Pages.next. Header.
Yeah, the thing is that the header will have information for the request that was sent to the server.
Uh-huh.
The read request. The read request might be for several pages, and I think they have a request for each page associated with whatever they sent. I think that request is tied to the RPC. And that's how they know on which page the read was
look at this.
Coming from.
If bytes greater than header good bytes, then zero user.
Yeah, no. Here it says end of file on the first if. Maybe they are dealing with the last page of the file in that case.
Okay, let's say this is not the case. Then what do they do? Bytes plus equals request write back bytes. We need to find out what is in here. Is it the WB? I'm assuming it says it's write back. So it's a maybe something else. But if it's the original bytes to be written in the page, then we just incremented bytes, which was originally zero. And since you're doing it for every page, I guess you just keep adding that. Why are you adding that? And then bytes less than set page up to date.
Well, either way, when I found out a roadblock with the NFS, I took a look at the scheduler, and I think I can implement it. It doesn't seem that hard. The whole scheduler for that line is less than 500 lines. It does, and it seems all packed in one file. So maybe that can be rather quickly implemented. I don't know if I should go towards that, or
I don't know. It seems like we are close with this. But it's. I guess I'm not sure how far away we are. It seems like we understand quite a bit, and it's just maybe a matter of figuring out what's happening in the completion path a little bit better. And that's happening here, right? And in terms of the IO scheduler, would be good to understand first whether how useful it is with the stats, using the stats. I think it can be useful, for instance, in the read-write benchmark for FileBench. If we can prioritize the reads over the writes, it might actually be very helpful. But if you're doing lazy, the writes may not even interfere anyway. So Santana, I guess you can continue running the experiments, but a couple of things. One is, where is the file that's being written into? Is it in the temp folder, or it's in a memory file, or it's somewhere on disk? To me, it doesn't make much sense for it to be a memory file, but we need to know for sure that the benchmark is doing the right thing, that it's creating a file in the file system, that, and that's what we want. And the second thing is it's to also run the lazy implementation of non-blocking writes.
That would be...
Third thing is the most important, which is to understand what's going on with the results. Why are we getting numbers that look like this? And the answer may be as simple as we're dealing with a memory file as opposed to a disk-based file.
That would explain a lot.
That would explain some, but we need to know what's going on there. And Daniel, I think it might be a good idea for you to spend some time with Ricardo to get him started off in some direction. Otherwise, he might be heading in the wrong direction.
Okay.
And then you could, you know, come back to, I mean, if you think the IO scheduler is more promising than this.
At least I think I can.
Yeah, but we need to get a sense for how useful it's, if you do implement it, how useful it is going to be.
Yeah. The thing is that this code is bigger and more complex than the other one, so.
Okay.
I think the other one will be easier to implement. That's the only thing.
Hopefully that's true, but I think it would be good to get a sense for how useful it will be. Once you set up Ricardo with the, once he's set up with the right environment, maybe you can look at the stat, the IO's weight, or whatever Lewis was talking about earlier, and see how useful that would be if you do implement it.
Okay.
I think it could be useful, but we need to know for sure. And there was some problem with the stat also, right?
Yeah.
That's the if needed to be moved somewhere else.
I think if I... Where is the browser? I
see it. Not. Okay, so Lewis has already taken a look at it.
Yeah, he made some comments. But
and he mostly agrees?
Pretty much was this, that we wanted just to add it if we are not, if we are waiting for
it. Only if we block.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we do that by just see if we can lock the page. If we cannot, it's because the right is... The right blocks.
Okay. The not the right blocks, but the page, the fetching of the page locks the page, right?
I think so. Let me see. Can I open?
Tell me what to do.
Can you see if here there is a way to get to the file? Yeah, you can view the file. That will be
Do I need to look for?
Actually, I don't know. If you go back, I can see the line. Because I didn't... Those lines, 3298 on the file.
3298.
Okay.
Lock page here? Because you want to block for the page to be up to date. And before you block your account, you update the stats.
If we can lock.
If you cannot lock it.
If we cannot lock it, exactly.
So try to lock it, and if you cannot lock it...
It's because something is locking it already.
Okay.
Which...
So what happens to the second patch?
I mean, you can lock it only for the first patch, right? For the second patch, the first patch is still have it locked.
What happens if there is a read lock, a read before this write?
That also have it locked.
And we do want to... Do we want to update the stats then? I guess we do. Because it is a non-blocking write. No, we don't want to update. See, we don't need. If a read blocks the page, then we don't update the stats, correct?
Okay.
So if a read lock, if a read cost a page fetch and lock the page, then this try lock page would fail, correct? And we won't update the stats.
Okay. By the way, all of this is for anonymous.
This is all for anonymous.
Yeah, I think we don't have a similar style of a system.
Yeah. I see. So let's say this anonymous. What does this stand to? Block, write, read. What does it do? Okay, this one I think we know. I use wait. Okay, so if you could lock the page. Then why do you lock it again?
No, one just checks. But it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't really actually lock?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Try lock.
No, I mean, it will try to lock and it will lock. But if it cannot, it won't wait.
If it locks?
If it locks, then it is true. You don't need to lock again. But if it doesn't lock, then with this one you do lock.
Then because you do want to wait.
Yeah, and either way, at this point, we should lock. Either because try lock succeed or because it failed and then we call lock page.
This is for... this is for read. Oh, this is on a read fault.
No, this is for both, I think. This is swap.
It should only be for read fault. It's for write fault, we don't want to block on the page.
Maybe then it's for read.
Yeah, it's for read fault, yeah. And when there is a read fault, then you do want to know how many IOs you're waiting for. There is some problem here. So if two processes try to read the same page and one of them caused a fault, then the other one won't be able to lock, and the stat.
Well, it will be just one IO either way.
So let's see. So try lock, if it is not able to lock the page, then because there's already a read, then the subsequent read fault will still lock the page. But we don't want to update the stats because there is no IO. See? But that's a very unusual case that two processes are faulting on the same page at the same time. So in that case, this won't work. Correct?
I guess.
I don't know how to get around that problem. But let's say that there was a write and the page got locked because you're fetching the page, right? Page would get locked if you're fetching the page.
I'm not sure, but okay. I have an some mind that path.
I guess it would have to be because if you're reading a page, you don't want other processes or other, there's even the same thread to be
so
accessing the page.
What you're trying to write.
Yeah. So let's say there was a write and you locked the page because you want to fetch the page. Then there was a follow-up read. You try to log the page, you cannot log the page. But you don't want to update the stats because the page is already being fetched. So here's the case where the I/O scheduler cannot just rely on the fact that there was the fetch was caused because of a write, because there might be a future read fault on the same page, and the I/O scheduler should revert or increase the priority of that page fetch, because it's not just a write that caused the page fetch, but also a read that caused the page fetch. See what I'm saying?
So there will be sort of a call from here to the scheduler, so the scheduler can...
Or update the status of the I/O request to say this is now high priority because there was a read fault on the page.
Okay, but to do that, you need to sort of call back into the I/O scheduler.
So it's a little bit more complicated, perhaps.
Okay, the scheduler right now, the one that I'm trying to play with, is the deadline I/O scheduler. In that one, you have a queue for writes, a queue for reads, all of them order, and a FIFO queue. No, let me go back. A FIFO queue for reads, a FIFO queue for writes, and an order queue for reads and write. So the FIFO queues are used to check if any of the requests miss their deadline. So they are scheduled right away, even if they are not the following order, according to the RB tree.
Yeah.
How it's implemented the RQ. But how they do all of this is that they use two levels of queuing. They have these FIFO queues and the RB tree with all the queues sorted. And everything that is in the FIFO is in the RB tree. But then there is this other queue that is the dispatcher queue. Once something is in the dispatcher, you cannot change. But while you have it in this queue, you could move it around from one queue to the other.
Yeah, I think once we don't have the problem of reducing the priority of anything. It's only increasing the priority, right?
Well, so in the case of this scheduler, it will mean just move from one FIFO to another.
Right. Because once it's in the dispatcher queue, it's already high priority. It's going to be sent to the disk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dispatcher queue is also FIFO, I'm assuming.
I think so.
Yeah. So once it's in the dispatcher queue, we are fine, even if it's a fetch because of a write, and that needs to be converted into a fetch because of a read. Now the fetch is much more important. But if it's already in the dispatcher queue, we are fine with that. So the only change we have to make then is to move. If it's not in the dispatcher queue, to move it to a high priority queue.
Maybe. Exactly, move it from 154 for non-blocking write reads from a fetch reads, which is a regular read.
I think the first version that you implement doesn't need to do that. It's probably a second stage of implementation. The first stage of implementation is just simple.
So it seems it's
nothing.
The modifications to the scheduler per se don't seem to be as much. Maybe the harder part is how to tag the request as a non-blocking write request instead of just a read or write. Because they use the flag for read or write, and it's just one bit to introduce a different type. I will have to modify somehow flags and trace them all to the I/O scheduler. Once I receive the request that is tagged as non-blocking write in the I/O scheduler, I think I can handle it without modifying as much the code.
Just even if it comes from, so let's say it's all the non-blocking write requests will be read requests, right? Because they're all fetch.
Mm-hmm. But I need to differentiate them between regular fetches.
Mm.
And that's what I need to figure out, how to tag the request in a different way. And eventually then when we go to for the second version, how to let the I/O scheduler know that one read request that was already scheduled changed your status.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it might be more difficult than the NFS, because the NFS you already have quite a bit of experience working with that code base.
At least on the read. right part.
Yeah.
The read is new for me. I always ignore it.
Yeah. Okay. I would recommend that you spend some more time on the to understand what's happening on an FS read completion.
Then I'll do it.
Yeah. Because it might be that the IO scheduler takes a lot longer than you think. And
okay.
Then coming back to the NFS may not be an option.
Should we do something about the paper?
Maybe.
Writing involved or
writing, I think the writing will need to happen soon. But we don't have yet a clear direction as to where it's going.
Okay.
It might have to be just last minute writing, unfortunately, because it's not clear how this paper is shaping up. We can make assumptions and start writing it in a certain way, but then maybe wasted effort.
Okay. Then I'll try to get.
Hopefully by Wednesday we'll have some more clarity. And our deadline is next week on
Thursday.
On Thursday. It still gives us a reasonable amount of time to write. It's not enough, but we'll have to do. Okay. All right. We'll meet on Wednesday then. Anything else? Andy?
Yeah, I was able to install the GDE PC.
Okay.
I already read what they're supposed to do. Just having some trouble importing the libraries and to Java. I'm not just sure about.
Is it a Is it a significant roadblock, or is it just taking time?
No, it's not important. It's not at all. But I'm already reading what's the problem. It looks like
okay. It's solved.
I'm just not sure. What do you need that for?
That would be used by YCSB benchmark. The benchmark will use the GDBC connector to connect to the probably one of the other two databases, and then the benchmark will use the databases too.
So pretty much you just need the GDBC out of the three. So
GDBC is
a connector
that can use other databases. And it's used for Java code to be able to access to databases. Well, Ricardo should know better than me, but he tried already with this. But I think one of the other two you can connect to by using GDBC, one of the other two names that you got. And the other one, it doesn't have a connector, and we also would like to have the YCSB benchmark to use it and to see if that is possible.
Yeah. All right, so keep at it, and hopefully by Wednesday you'll have something to report.
I think that will be fixed today. But
okay. Good. So I'll see you guys on Wednesday at 4.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
See you in a bit.
Yeah, I'll see you in class.